Welcome to CFO Talk. I'm your host, Steve Rosewald, Chief Learning Officer at CFO.University. Joining us today is Dave Sackett, Chief Financial Officer at Alvac Technologies, a global leader in vacuum technology headquartered in Massachusetts. Dave has a business management degree from Westfield State University and has worked in various accounting and finance roles before becoming the CFO at Alvac. He is also a contributor at CFO.University, his videos being some of the most popular on our professional development platform. Dave has a strong interest in the fourth industrial revolution and frequently speaks on topics related to artificial intelligence, blockchain, robotic process automation, and machine learning. Today, Dave will be updating us on these leading edge technologies. Welcome, Dave. It's great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. I'm glad you invited me.
Well, you know, we've known each other for some time now, and you've done some wonderful videos on CFO.University, which I really appreciate. And more importantly, you know, our member scholars really appreciate. So thank you for that involvement. And I'd like to jump right in because I'm excited to learn more about you and get an update on these new technologies.
Sounds good.
You know, you've made technology, you know, a key success factor as a business leader. And I'm wondering if you can share a few tips with your fellow CFOs on kind of how you've approached technology.
Sure. Yeah, for me, I've found that technology is an easy thing to latch onto and really use as a tool to help your team be more efficient and really to give you data that you need in real time. So I've tried to, you know, analyze my business, see how can it improve by technology, do the research, and then make an implementation plan and go. And I've been very lucky and fortunate that it's worked out.
That's great. So really, it's you know, grab the bull by the horns and go forward.
Right.
Yeah. And that can be kind of frightening, especially for, you know, CFOs who haven't been in that area before. So can you take us through a small example of where you said, you know, I'm not quite sure how to get this done, but I know it's important, and how you took the technology and you know, took the bull by the horns.
Yeah, sounds good. I guess one of my first and probably best achievements was upgrading an old legacy ERP system to a modern one called Visibility.net. And it was a big jump for us. It was our biggest capital purchase at the time. But we did demos. We really vetted the company. We analyzed our business. We had input from all our leaders and directors to say, you know, I want this, it should have this, it should have that. Made a team and then got a good partner and just went forward with Visibility. And, you know, they could have had the implementation done in 3 months. Wow. And just really whipped it together. But I instead stretched it out to a year and had a sandbox so people could still do their day-to-day jobs. Mm-hmm. And then learn it at their own pace with homework and people checking it so that when we did go live, people were super comfortable with the solution.
Wow. You know, that is a great approach. The patience. And that's, I would say that's what, looking personally back at my implementations when I was the CFO, patience, you know, I didn't have enough patience. So the idea that giving people a chance to use this, get comfortable, because that was one of the big issues, right, with tech, any technology implementation, is that people don't accept it. They kind of get it forced on them. They don't accept it. They don't have time to absorb it. And I think what an interesting way to approach it, that the sandbox idea, giving people a lot of opportunity to learn about it. I think that's a fantastic approach. Other examples that you might want to share with the audience, on what you've done or what you've seen done or helped other people do at other businesses, or even what you've heard at conferences on, you know, what has been a successful approach to implementing technology.
Sure. Some of the things we've done is we've moved to a cloud-based account reconciliation service by SkyStem, called ART, and that's allowed us to visually see here the account recs that are open, here's who needs to review it, and it's super fast, it's efficient, we give our auditors access, saves a lot of time, and has all the data there at our fingertips.
Wow, that so SkyStem, and I didn't realize that you may have mentioned to me at one time, but Nancy Wu over at SkyStem is also one of our contributors, and I wasn't aware of that. And you've used them effectively, so that's a great endorsement for their product, and it's great to have two contributors collaborating like that. And that's mostly closed software, and so that's an efficiency. And so when you look at how their tool helped you, you know, how would you classify it as a payback, as a reduction in cost, improved efficiency, quicker financials, better information? You know, when you kind of check the boxes of why you did that, you know, what boxes were checked?
Sure. Yeah, it was time saving. So it's much faster with a cloud-based system. It's remote. We tried to do something like this on our own using Box.com or Dropbox, one of those. And we had to make folders, we had to go in and we had to sign PDFs, and we thought we had a good system, but we really didn't. Yeah. With SkyStem, you just click, you know, you can do everything in clicks, and it's super fast, it's well organized by account, you upload all your balances. It's really helped out with accuracy and double checking. You know, the supervisor has to sign off. You have to, if there is a variance, you have to put in a note. You can't approve it until everything's tight.
Huh, yeah.
So from an accuracy point of view, from a speed point of view, and auditor point of view, the auditors can just log in, look at anything they want. We leave it wide open. They can look at all the backup, who signed off on it, what's in the balance, with really minimal training for them. So it's a win-win all around.
Well, you know, and the interesting part, so using technology in this case, well, there's all, you mentioned all kinds of other benefits, but it's an internal control. So everyone knows how to do a close, right? Everyone,
right.
And nobody does it the way they want it done. You know what steps should be taken, you kind of know, but having a tool like that, that takes, you know, kind of some of the grunt work out of it, or forces you to make sure you're doing all that is important. So that's, and I think that generally, you know, finding technology that allows us to do that, you know, can really be important. It's been 2 years since you did your famous video, Get Ready for Artificial Intelligence for us, which has been super popular on our platform. So thank you for that. Can you give us any updates on where AI is now and machine learning, RPA? What, you know, has anything changed, or what are the hot buttons for CFOs in the space now?
Yeah, so now what you're seeing is kind of the big accounting firms are going to AI to audit financials. So they're using it to review past years and this year to try to find anomalies with AI, find patterns that maybe the human auditor can't find, and kind of pluck those out and say, oh, what's going on with this account? Why did this balance go up? So it's quite a change from the strict flux analysis where you're kind of just looking at balances. This is where AI is trying to find the unusual.
And you mentioned the auditors are doing that. You mean the internal and the external auditors? You know, how are, you know, corporations and CFOs, are they incorporating that same type of technology to find those?
They are, yeah. There's a company I'm familiar with called MindBridge, and they do this kind of analysis with AI. I've seen them do a demo where, you know, you could do predictive analytics in real time. You can actually see the algorithms. They can show you the data to say, okay, you know, what do you see in these numbers? And then they say, okay, well, here's what AI sees, and here's how they go about it, which is pretty amazing.
Wow. No, that is amazing. There's a company out here called GALOIS. It's GALOIS that does these really deep analytics. They do it for the big companies on the West Coast. So it's the Amazons and they do all this, you know, it's really big data mining.
Right.
But something similar, you go, you know, where do you even start on something like that? So, you know, having professionals who can help shine a light on that, I think is pretty important, which I'll take a short segue here and talk, you know, data analytics fits into this whole place somewhere, and it's becoming kind of, and these technologies, what I see, the technology all kind of competing for themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And trying to get the right names and the right, you know, and it's driven, I think, by the vendors who have these technologies, but data analytics has kind of, you know, stood out on its own. It's become a technology kind of on its own that doesn't, and at least in my circles, doesn't get brought up as part of AI, but it really is a significant part you know, because that's what using the algorithms and the, they're, you know, so how does data analytics fit into this whole space of robotic process automation, machine learning, and all that?
Yeah. So, I mean, with robotic process automation, you're increasing your accuracy in your numbers. So good data analytics need good accuracy. And then you've also got moves towards KPIs, towards best practices. So you're trying to measure that data through data analytics, and AI is a tool that can certainly help you kind of extract that from your system. So you're seeing moves into business intelligence, for example, and then what sits on top of that is AI to give you your data analytics.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. Say, do you have a way? So, you know, there's so many competing products and so many opportunities. How do you suggest a CFO run those through a template or a spaghetti grinder that helps them identify where's the opportunities for my business? I don't know if it's driven by industry or by number of customers you have, but how do you, do you have any tips for us on how to determine what to work on for our specific business?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And it's one I get often. And what I try to give people for advice is to really analyze your business. You know, what makes you unique and where are your pain points? What are you doing that's fine and where do you need to improve? So when you find something that, hey, I need to improve my business in this area, maybe there's too much manual data entry, maybe there's a bottleneck of transactions getting stuck, which is slowing you down. You know, at that point, I identify a problem, then try to see if I can find a technology to solve that problem instead of just adding people to it. You know, think of technology as a resource to solve your problems. And for me, my case was accounts payable. I have a lot of parts in the tools we make. And with one AP person, they were getting overwhelmed with vendor invoices. Okay. So that's a slowdown in my process that said, if I automate this, that's the whole business is going to get better. My vendors will be paid on time. I'll have more accurate AP. I'll have, with that automation, they can now do more things. So for my personal case, it was robotic process automation. But for someone else, it could be AI. For another company, it could be a chatbot. Maybe it's customer service that, you know, you want 24/7 and you can have a bot programmed with all your kind of frequently asked questions and have key responses that also use machine learning. So as people ask more questions, you teach the bot to be smarter in essence. Here's more information. If someone asks about this, this is your answer, or you give them these options for answers. So we're seeing that a lot too. And even if you make an appointment for an oil change, for example, you might run into one of these bots that's trying to link to a calendar and finding out the service schedule and, you know, has your information about your vehicle and they can check inventory. So it is in the real world, AI is definitely out there and growing every day.
Well, you know, you almost embarrassed me for asking the question because that was such a perfect answer. And it's really look at your business and where you have problems and issues and improvements, consider these technologies to help you with that. And that's so, exactly. That's such, I've made it too difficult all these years. And it's really just make sure that your toolkit of solutions includes the potential to bring in some kind of technology. I think that was a very succinct answer you had, and that makes perfect sense where you're solving a problem. Maybe, you know, with the example, what you said in your clothes, and you thought you had a good clothes and you're using Dropbox and things that were very cumbersome right. In the end, but you initially thought. So what drove you then to take the next step and say, hey, there's another solution here? How did you find out another solution to that problem?
And yeah, always learning, never be satisfied with what you have today. And it's being open to new ideas, new solutions. When I met Nancy Wu at a finance conference, that's how I met her. Uh-huh. And when she told me what she did, I'm like, we have a solution already. I don't even need to hear what you have to say, but I'll entertain it. And I was really blown away at how much better their solution was than the one that I created. And you know, when you create a solution that you think is really good, you almost have a bias to say, I don't need to see anything else. This works good enough.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
To being open to say, hey, you know what? This vendor does it better. And here's where they do it better. And then for your team to get excited about it kind of brings it all together in a demo. So I'm constantly looking for new ideas, looking what's out there, doing demos to see if there's a good fit for my business.
How do you, that's interesting, because there's only one Dave, right, in your organization. Right. And so doing that could be pretty a big burden on you. Do you do anything with your employees and staff to help them have that same curiosity and same, you know, are they bringing ideas to you that help in this area?
I try to encourage it, but no, they're pretty much kind of set in their business and what
you keep
they
them,
do.
You keep them pretty busy.
Yeah. But I do try to, but I do kind of push them to learn more. Continuously learn, see what's out there. If it affects you, if you're an AR and you want to automate AR, okay, bring, you know, show me that you're interested. Show me, you know, bring me a vendor, bring me a solution, or even what's your idea? How do you want to automate AR to make it a better process? And I kind of work with them, like coaching them. And we, you know, in that case, we'd find a vendor together.
Sounds like you're a man of a million questions. And that's, I think, a great way to get answers is to ask questions. That's
correct.
Good. When you're working with your board and your CEO, because you need a budget for a product, you want to be able to, you know, invest in this stuff. You know, how do you approach, you know, them with the benefits, and, you know, how do you explain it to them to get the capital you need to invest in this technology?
Yeah, just like it was going to be maybe a lighting solution where you go from fluorescent to LED lights. You know, for technology, I kind of use the same return on investment, you know, financial look, I guess, as a CFO. I show them, here's what we have today. Here's how we're benefit. Here's the payback period. And if I can show the numbers to tell a story to the board and have backup and have, you know, good logic of why we're doing it, it's often successful.
Good. And a few successes, I guess, probably then gets them during budget time. It gets easier to allocate capital towards that area, even if you don't have specific projects yet. But to say, hey, this is, if you have a few successes, they're probably more interested in investing in that area than if either you don't do anything at all or you don't have success.
Correct.
Good.
Yeah. So one thing I like to do is have, you know, as we're going along with technology, maybe I need to upgrade the technology or maybe expand it and show, you know, again, I use that same kind of financial approach to say, you know, if we're doing the same, you know, we'll get here. If we do add the technology, we'll get here, and kind of show them and track it as a project to say, okay, this is what I proposed over time. Here's the actual that came in against that technology upgrade.
So the proof's in the pudding. Yeah.
Good. Exactly.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. In today's world, you know, COVID-19 has added all kinds of stresses to staff and to companies and trying to figure out how to make things work on lower revenue streams. You know, where's the big potential or are there any kind of significant wins that many companies can have if they focus in specific areas? Is there anything that stands out as in today's world that a CFO should be taking particular interest in?
Yeah, I would think looking at services. So my company specifically is really a hardware company, and that's what we sell. But now with COVID, that part of our business has really slowed down because people don't like shelling out $5 million during a pandemic for a tool. Mm-hmm. So we've looked at upgrades. We've looked at, you know, offering our service as a product. So, And by doing so, we try to use remote technologies. We try to use, you know, AR, for example, for our service team as a solution, and, you know, think of different ways to help the customer out, especially during a pandemic.
Great. Yeah. Nice product extension in the way to find, to help your customers. I know that I had a data analyst on, his name is Prashant Sothakel, and he's a guy up in Calgary who teaches. He's brilliant, but he brings up data as a place where, you know, we're missing an opportunity to monetize data. A lot of bigger companies, but where you have a lot of data, you do a lot of transactions, or whatever your business is. If you do a lot of it, you're gathering a lot of information either on vendors, customers, supply chain. And he said that can be really valuable to people if you think about, you know, what that is worth to you. It may be worth as much to someone else. And so he's a big data monetization guy, and really, really an interesting a way for CFOs, I think, to think about, you know, and we're the ones who have the data. We see all the data coming through the company, whether it's not just the general ledger, but everything that's happening. And I think good potential for CFOs in that area to create another revenue stream. You know, you have an advantage because you have an IT background, right? You spent some time in technology when you first started your career. A lot of CFOs may not have that. So how do you, you know, help us with, you know, if you don't have a technology background, we haven't spent time in that area specifically. How do you propose, you know, the CFOs really team with their technologists in the company, whether it's an IT director or VP, whatever, to make sure these projects become successful?
Yeah, so I would say definitely focus on the relationship between finance and IT. You know, understand, you know, where you're coming from. Try to understand where your IT person is coming from and find common ground and a common mission. And if you can get that alignment between those two groups, I think you'll have success. In my case, I'm both kind of like the CFO and CIO. So I've got that part covered, but I know that's not all organizations. But really, you know, for me to get into technology back in the day, I saw that, you know, as a finance person, I need good data. I need reliable audit trails. I need this information to be clean, to be accurate. And if I have bad IT, that's not going to work. So I've, you know, made it a point to really partner with the IT function and, you know, use it along with finance. And, you know, my prediction maybe 20 years ago would be that IT and finance would just be one discipline, but I still see that it's separate. And, but I think we're still moving in that direction. I think especially with technology advancing, with, you know, the needs for data-driven decisions, I think you're going to see more and more collaboration between finance and IT.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting that the way I think you're right. And I think a lot of our old departmental, the compartments that we created as departments are kind of shifting and merging. I see a lot of CFOs taking over a bigger role in the supply chain, mm-hmm. even operations. And so, and a lot of CFOs end up in the CEO role too. But I think as we morph into a new business model, you know, there's a lot of different opportunities for CFOs to branch out and take on other responsibilities that just make sense for us. So I think that's a huge opportunity for us, whether it's, you know, in the data, in an area like data analytics. I think there's a risk that we don't latch on. I've heard somebody who was talking, they're hiring more mathematicians, more, you know, data scientists rather than accountants and finance people for those roles. So, I mean, there is a competitive piece that says, hey, you have to have the skill set. But I think that whole area, there's so many different areas that the CFOs touches that are just becoming, you know, closer and closer. There's not, you know, again, you know, not necessarily breaking down the walls, but the walls are evaporating, right? They're becoming more seamless.
Yeah, no, that's a trend I'm seeing, especially with data scientists. I think with AI, with really focusing on your data, even the monetization part of your data, it's like you really want someone in your corner as a CFO who has that, you know, data science background that you can count on and you can lean on. Yeah. And I think that's creating opportunities now for new graduates, people in college that want to enter the workforce. You know, maybe you were going to be an actuary or a math major, but now you've got data science as an opportunity.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Well, good. Well, you know, we're running out of time. But I'll ask one last question. If there's any kind of resources or how you would, if any suggestions on, you know, places people can go or how they can get, you know, familiar with AI and how to the groups and, you know, where do you kind of find your home when it comes to these ideas on technology?
Yeah. So for other people, I would recommend looking at the big accounting firms, EY, PwC, Deloitte. They've invested heavy in looking at kind of new technology. What's the next thing? How can CFOs leverage, you know, either blockchain, AI, robotic process automation? They've got a lot of resources as well as Microsoft. Microsoft is also in this space. And there are also individual companies that are kind of popping up, specifically in AI, specifically in RPA. So today, there's so much data out there, it's even hard to grasp it all. And one thing I do, I use an app called Flipboard. And I want to look at every single article published about AI, just because that's a super interest of mine, and I want to share what I learned with my audiences. So anytime an article publishes with AI, that news gets pushed to my phone. So sometimes the articles are good and I kind of archive those. Otherwise, they're a fluff piece and I skip by them. But at least, you know, anything that's out there is about AI, I've had at least some knowledge of. And as you kind of get curious and as you push a little further, just keep learning, keep studying, keep finding information and realize that, you know, especially with AI, it's going to dominate our world. I mean, I think it's such an important technology. You know, it began in the 40s, but now you're seeing it really take off and you're seeing the technology and merging with other Industry 4.0 technologies that, you know, the future is even right now is amazing. It's going to get even more amazing when it comes to technology.
The one thing you talked about all the study and learning, but I think what you have shown that you do, and I think is do some things, you know, pick some projects, get started on it, which is what you've done in addition to all the study and the curiosity. So good for you. And, you know, really appreciate, you know, the time that you've taken with us today, Dave. That wraps up today's CFO Ed Talk. You know, thanks for joining us and we appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. This was great.
CFO.University is a community of member scholars, companies, and trusted advisors committed to the professional development of the chief financial officer. Learn more about us at www.cfo.university. Until next time, enjoy, learn, engage.